News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
6 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, and turning up your voice at 343-0106. We'd love to hear from you this hour.
This hour, when we turn up your voice, brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and his crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK do fantastic work in both Mobile and Baldwin counties. And if you have a, it's not spring just yet, but there's nothing saying you can't get your spring cleaning started a little bit earlier. And 1-800-GOT-JUNK makes it easy for you. So if you have a room that's full of stuff you no longer use or can't think of how to use it, or if it's too big to move, or some of those things you're not quite sure whether you should just throw them in the dumpster, put them out by the curb, or what exactly is supposed to happen with them, 1-800-GOT-JUNK will take care of that for you. And during this time, 2021, we're now in, when many people are still worried about COVID-19, which makes sense, 1-800-GOT-JUNK provides full-service junk removal. All you have to do is point at what you want removed, and they'll take care of it. One of the best things about 1-800-GOT-JUNK, the pricing is upfront, so they won't take care of it for you and then leave you with extras added onto the bill by the time they leave. What they quote you is what you'll pay, and it's very easy and convenient to set up an appointment. They'll find a day that works for you. So give them a call today, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
I heard a lot of good reviews of that company, that local company, since I've been here at FM Talk 106.5. A lot of people have used them, not just in the building, but listeners to the radio station. Mm-hmm. They do what they say they're going to do.
They do.
And that's, I wish everybody would be that way.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, and my daughter, what'd she say when she came in the other day? She walked into the break/copier room.
Yeah.
Nice room. So maybe she'll say that about your room next. I don't know. If you call 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
She's doing a tour of listeners' homes.
Yeah.
So get ready for Izzy, sweaty baby, to come by and see you. 9 minutes after 8 o'clock at FM Talk 106.5. Trump on tour yesterday. Kind of, sort of. At least it was But it's the first we've heard him in a long time.
Yeah, since the inauguration, at least. Yesterday, former President Trump went on Fox News twice, I believe. He went on with Bill Hemmer yesterday and then with Sean Hannity later last night. He also went on One America News and Newsmax. Now, the reason that he was on, or at least the reason given for being on all of these shows yesterday, was because of the passing of Rush Limbaugh at the age of 70 years old. And that's mm-hmm. mostly what the former president talked about on these shows yesterday. But a few of the things he talked about that people are interested in, he told Newsmax that he is contemplating running for president again in 2024. It was kind of a, I guess you could call it a cliffhanger in a couple of these interviews where they asked him, what his future plans are. And he said, I don't know, you're going to have to wait to find out, but we've got big plans in the mix. And I think he kind of gave major clues into what the plan is here when he wrote that letter to Mitch McConnell a couple days ago and said he's planning on backing any Make America Great Again candidate that runs for office during the 2022 right. midterms. But Trump also yesterday commented on some of the things that President Biden said during his town hall event on Tuesday night. And one thing in particular, Biden was talking about COVID-19 vaccine availability and where he thinks the United States will be in the months to come as far as what vaccines and how many are available. So Biden on Tuesday night said by the end of July, we'll have over 600 million doses, enough to vaccinate every single American. He said they will be available. But a little bit
according
later.
According to availability.
Yeah, he is. I should say he said they'll be available and then clarified that the promised vaccines are dependent upon availability. So what does that tell you? He's saying they're available, as long as they're going to be available.
Available to you.
Yeah. But he also said from Biden's town hall the other night, President Trump commented on Biden saying that when he took office that there were zero vaccines available. Actually, Biden's exact words were, he said, we had no vaccine. And let me see, I had the quote from Biden here just a minute ago. He said, when we took office, we had, it's one thing to have the vaccine, which we didn't have when we came into office, but a vaccinator, how do you get the vaccine into someone's arm? Here's Trump yesterday commenting on that.
We were giving millions of shots and millions of doses, so he was either not telling the truth or he's mentally gone, one or the other. And he's getting, actually Joe Biden's being killed on that whole thing, because even the haters said, well, wait a minute, you know, this vaccine was announced long before, and I believe he got the shot sometime before January 20th.
So, and he's right. Remember, Biden and Kamala Harris both got the shots.
Yeah, that was before they got into office.
That's
correct?
Right.
And so that was a photo op.
And at that point, you know, America wasn't yet vaccinating 1 million people per day, but we're well on our way. I think January 19th or thereabouts, there were, I think, like 700,000 or 800,000 people being vaccinated per day. So that was definitely an incorrect statement from Biden the other night during the town hall. This quote, we might be able to use this in future shows.
Frankly, that was a very dumb statement.
that was Trump talking about Biden yesterday. And another thing people are really interested in, he talked about social media and Twitter. Here's a bit from Trump yesterday on Newsmax.
If you look at what's going on with Twitter, I understand it's become very boring and millions of people are leaving. They're leaving it because it's not the same, and I can understand that.
And he later said that he doesn't plan on going back.
Everything I was saying was being flagged. It's disgraceful. And yet you have other foreign countries saying the worst things possible, and they don't even talk about it. But it's become very boring. We don't want to go back to Twitter.
So there you go. He also said he might start his own social media website or something along those lines. So that's basically all that Trump said yesterday, except for talking about Rush Limbaugh, which of course took up a major portion of those interviews.
All right. So you said something earlier that hadn't really occurred to me. Well, I said something and then you jumped on top of it, expanding on my idea. I was like, man, if Trump just did, if he was just available any given day to just talk like that,
yeah,
call him as he sees him, whatever is, you throw this subject at him, what do you think about this?
Mm-hmm.
Bang, he says, what do you think about this? Bang. And you were like, why doesn't he just replace Rush Limbaugh? But there's a lot of preparation and work that goes into what Rush did.
Of course.
But if Trump's not the host of a show, can you just picture him just being a guest, like the second wheel?
Yeah.
But the second wheel is really what you're waiting on. He doesn't have to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could have so-and-so and Trump.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't have to over-prepare for the show. He could just sit there and
comment
off the cuff. It would be...
Well, I mean, if he were to jump in to that time slot, I mean, he would have... Because he's been so entertaining for so long, even before he ran for president. Obviously, he would call into shows like the Howard Stern Show.
Mm-hmm.
We had him on here. Actually, Sean had him on the midday show as he was campaigning for his presidential election. He was entertaining even when he was, you know, calling into the station here.
Exactly.
And you kind of said it earlier. It's like there's outstanding content that doesn't have to be necessarily divisive that Trump talks about all the time. I mean,
just entertaining.
Anyone, if they were being truthful, would say, would you be more entertained listening to 20 minutes of Trump talking or 20 minutes of Joe Biden talking? Regardless of politics, regardless of, you know, whatever, you can't deny that he is very, very entertaining.
And I'll tell you, so here's when I really came to that conclusion too. So, on the mornings that he had a rally the day before,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I would come in early and you'd say, hey, grab some Trump audio if you can from that rally, and I'll try to grab what I can. And I said, okay. So I would come in the mornings and I'd be pretty early, but I would then review his rally. And it was basically, it was stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And the crowd was adoring him, and I don't know that it helped him win the election,
or it didn't.
But I don't know if it harmed him, but the crowd loved him so much, and he was so comfortable in front of the crowd, and of course, a lot of what he was doing and saying was slamming Biden, but it was the way he was going about it, and I was like, man, check this clip out. Well, it was really entertaining.
And that's one way that he and Rush Limbaugh were so alike.
Mm-hmm.
Before Rush Limbaugh, not many or any conservative radio hosts out there, they were actually fun and entertaining to listen to for a long period of time. Same for politicians and Trump when he jumped into the mix.
That's a good point. And I've also got, there was a landmark law that helped unleash Rush Limbaugh. Are you aware of that?
Reagan.
You're right about that. Anyway, we'll talk about that. 816 FM Talk 106.5. I know it was about 1988 or thereabouts. from Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwood. The show is Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5, followed up by Jeff Ford at 9 o'clock. Sean Sullivan, who just graced us with his presence a moment ago, talking about the passing of Rush Limbaugh and how Sean was such a fan from an early age, because Rush Limbaugh was just like basically something we had never heard before. And he had this element about him that was very disc jockey-ish. And you might not, as a conservative American, you may not even, maybe didn't even recognize that. But if you were in radio, mm-hmm. you could tell that, as we would say, he had chops. He was really cool at what he did, because beyond the conservative talk and all the politics, he was just a really talented on-air talent.
Yeah,
and he proved that. Every day. And to use that rock music, too, in the intro and everything, that had never been done in any kind of talk radio before. That
right.
was brand new kind of stuff. Like, how does that match up together?
Yeah.
But he made it work, and then it became kind of his signature sound.
Yeah, so on top of the entertainment ability, which came from his early radio days, mm-hmm. he also was so well-read and knowledgeable about, well, so many topics that were of interest every single day. So he will certainly be missed.
And so the law that I was talking about, 87?
Yes, that was the Fairness Doctrine, right?
Right.
And it's kind of similar, and I'm sure Sean, if I get something wrong, he'll run up here and smack me in the back of the head. But you know how...
He'll do that regardless.
In campaign season, if you allow politicians to advertise.
Candidate A,
then you have to give the same options mm-hmm. to candidate B.
Right.
That's how things work. Well, back then, I believe that not just advertising on air, but giving any political voice time on air, you had to match that with an opposing stance. So mm-hmm. you give anti-abortion 10 minutes to talk. You better give somebody who's
for women's rights or whatever. Right?
Whatever. Yeah. So, but that changed in 1987. Ronald Reagan was, of course, president then, and mm-hmm. made that change. And then that's when Rush Limbaugh, you said his first year was 88, right? This news talk show. He kind of set off on his own path. And then I think he started in 60 or 70 stations across the country.
So he was, yeah, I don't have all the facts in front of me. I know that he was out of Sacramento. That's where he's broadcasting from. He became syndicated from Sacramento. But that's when he kind of took off. Mm-hmm. I think he was... he was on the air in Sacramento beginning in 1984. Of course, he was hamstrung by the laws at the time. Once those shackles came off, he was able to really take off, and he took advantage of that new law like nobody else did.
Yeah.
And then when you add in his talent and how well read he was, he was loaded for bear, and yeah. others were caught like what? That's where I said that the last hour there were so many people that followed him. They were behind him. He was the first one there, and he was so good at what he did. All of these Rush wannabes, mm-hmm. basically,
yeah.
were in his wake. No fault to them. They were just they were behind the giant, you know.
Yeah.
And you could hear in them, even if they didn't know it, they were some way mimicking Rush Limbaugh. And I would always shake my head like, man, you're trying to steal from the guy that's already figured it out.
Right, yeah.
You want to figure out your own thing and not just be that guy. And far be it from me to be a spokesperson or somebody that can speak too deeply on this, because I was always in morning radio and in music radio.
Right, yeah.
So I wouldn't ask my opinion, and I didn't give my opinion, and I just try to make people laugh on the way to work. But that's what I recognized in Rush, and that's what Sean was just talking about, was he was a lot more than just this political figure. He had that in his repertoire, yeah, yeah. But he was an entertainer.
Yeah, the name I saw most commonly associated yesterday with Limbaugh was Howard Stern,
mm-hmm.
not because of their politics, but because probably without those two, talk radio would be NPR. That mm-hmm. that would basically be it. They really opened up the game. And, you know, get a couple local news items here that I wanted to talk about before we get Rob Holbert on with Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. He'll be on with us this next half hour. But we've been talking about this home alcohol delivery bill. You know, legislature right now, they're on a break, and they will be back in session next week. But one of these bills, Senate Bill 126, would make it legal for restaurants, bars, package stores to deliver beer, wine, and spirits. They'd have to, of course, the rules, driver would have to be at least 21. I think they're going to do background checks on the drivers. The person who receives it has to sign for it and be at least 21. And the ABC board would be in charge of giving out those permits, basically, to businesses that would be allowed to deliver alcohol to different locations. Well, it looks like in this article from AL.com, they're reporting on the Alabama Brewers Guild, who said that breweries, distilleries, and wineries were left out of the delivery bill that actually passed the Senate. So I guess I assumed, and we know what happens when you assume something, I assumed that when they make a rule that you can deliver alcohol in the state, that that would include basically any producer of alcohol.
So why is the line drawn there? I don't understand.
I'm not exactly sure why they drew it.
I'm sure
it right
the
there.
Owner of breweries are they're not wondering themselves.
Exactly, because that's a massive payday that they'd be, you know, missing out on. The executive director of the Brewers Guild, Jim Perkins, he says he thinks that they will fix this in the House because it passed the Senate portion of this, and they'll go to the House and then back through the Senate, I believe, once they make changes in the House. But they said craft beer alone has generated more than $850 million in economic impact for Alabama. And I can think, you know, if I were to get alcohol delivered to my home, I wouldn't want to be limited to, you know, just
what the whatever state thinks you should be able to.
Exactly. I'd love, consume. We have so many of these nice new breweries popping up and that have been around that I'm a fan of. It just, and those are usually locally owned, right? So you're kind of hurting your local business owners by if you do pass it in that form and fashion.
Yeah, and I can tell you that those businesses, Dalton, are already hurting from the pandemic. I mean, the local breweries here in Mobile really got hammered by the pandemic. They could use our help right now.
And it's kind of similar to when there was the discussion of whether craft breweries should be allowed in the state. If you know that quote from the beginning of Midday Mobile in the intro, mm-hmm. beer we got, the drink we pretty got. Good, don't it?
Yeah.
That was because that was a politician lobbying against breweries being allowed to form.
I didn't know that.
It's not hard to figure out who was paying or encouraging those politicians to go against having these new breweries put in the state. And that's what this executive director Perkins said. He said, it's our understanding that we were excluded due to the intervention from beer wholesalers and the Alabama Alcohol Beverage Control Board. And the ABC board is kind of in control of who gets these permits or doesn't after it makes its way out of Montgomery. So they'll have to make those changes in Montgomery. Will the Brewers Guild have enough sway to make that happen?
Jeff Ford could have something to say about that because he likes to talk about the ABC board as much as anybody. Not in a real flattering way. I don't put words in his mouth. Jeff's up, by the way, beginning at 9 o'clock today. Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig and Rob Holbert from Lanyap and lanyapmobile.com on the way next.
.836 FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great here at the FM Talk 106.5 studio, and I know things are going well over at McConnell. Still have that Yardi Gras sale going on.
That's right. As long as the weather's going to cooperate today, I hope, and everybody get out, but y'all can check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. We're trading in a lot of cars with this Buick deal. It's just amazing, really. You get money and 0%. I mean, it's working, and that's why we're keeping the Yardi Gras sale going on. Got plenty of trucks, too, used and new. Got some great deals on those new trucks. Man, those are fine. They're coming in every day. Got that fine tailgate. Y'all come check those out. We're going to be there till today and all weekend. We're going to have a good time and sell a few cars.
That's awesome, Louie. And, you know, we've had some rain recently. Certainly nothing nearly as bad as Texas and much of America. But nice time to remind people that body shop you have there is top-notch.
That's right. Gary and the girls and the guys back there, man, they'll take care of all your insurance needs. You can call them at 251-476-4141. And they'll take care of the car, insurance, and all that stuff for you.
All right. Appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
As Louie Arata, go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
It's 8:37, FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and time on a Thursday to talk with Rob Hulbert from Lanyap and lanyapmobile.com.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are y'all?
Hey, doing great, and I'm looking at the cover of the newest edition of Lanyap, and you got some dice up there on the cover.
We have dice on the cover, yeah. We're talking about kind of a little bit about what you were just talking about, bills in the legislature. They were talking a little bit about the alcohol delivery bill, mm-hmm. And I think you kind of probably touched on why a lot of those breweries aren't included. ABC probably has something to do with that. But we're also talking about one of the big things that we look at. So I guess when you came into this, KIV had some priority bills to begin with that mm-hmm. she's asking the legislature to take care of. Most of those were COVID-related. It was, you know, basically to protect COVID-19 stimulus payments from state income tax.
Yep.
To renew economic incentive programs designed to promote job creation. That sounds kind of nebulous, but, you know, I guess we figure out what that is. And then also to protect businesses from liability lawsuits for spreading COVID. So mm-hmm. those were a couple of things right out of the box that they went after. But probably one of the big boys, you're going to have Del Marsh's bill for gambling, comprehensive gaming bill, and that could mean a lottery. It could also mean Class 3 gaming in the state, which means casino style gaming, not electronic bingo, but it means table games,
right?
As well.
Yeah,
so that's a big thing they're looking at. They claim that one of the things that, with this is it would be subject to a statewide vote, so it would go before the voters. But what they're looking to do with the lottery in particular is establish basically, an education lottery fund. They'll put money into the school systems, but also post-secondary scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, somebody had to, the Alpha had to slip in agricultural grants, too. So they're, that's there as well.
It seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I understand this is, first off, lottery has been discussed for a very, very long time in Alabama.
Right. With zero momentum.
With not a whole lot of momentum at all. And I think, there's been polling out there that Alabamians have at least wanted to vote on whether or not to have lottery. The polling has shown that's been pretty popular for a while now, and I think the reason that it hasn't made any ground until this year is because the legislature was too worried about where the money was going. And of course it makes sense, you want them to be worried about where the money's going, but it was more of a, I better get mine, and if I don't get mine, then I don't want this to happen at all. I was surprised that casino gaming and sports gambling are also on the table with this lottery bill, because I think most of the polling has been whether Alabamians won a lottery or not. I haven't seen a whole lot of polling on table games and slot machines and sports gambling also.
Yeah, I think one of the things, we look at it, you look at other states like Florida, you look at states like Georgia, and, they have, kids can go to school there for a lot easier. I mean, there's money in the till for people going to college.
Mm-hmm.
If you hit, I mean, I know that there's some here as well, but, this kind of thing adds to that. And as far as the casino style gambling goes, and this would include Mobile Greyhound Park.
Right.
So that would be right here. I think the big thing everybody's looking at is seepage. Where is the money going? How much of this money in our state is going to Mississippi, is going to Florida, is going to Georgia, is going to Tennessee? I'm sure it's considerable. They think that this could be, $700 million per year bump to our economy, to our state economy. I think it's probably, I don't have any basis to say that's not the right number, but I'm sure there's hundreds of millions of dollars at stake with this, because, you think about it. Look at Biloxi. Look at what they're doing over there.
Yeah.
And it has just exploded. To me, it just seems that we're trapped. We're in an island of no gambling, no lottery, and everybody else around us has it.
Looks like that's about to change, Rob. Focusing on Mobile Greyhound Park, what are you hearing, if anything? What are the possibilities on that property?
I don't know. I really don't know what could happen. If they can bring slot machines, poker, roulette, blackjack, dice games, table games, all those things there. It's a big game changer, you know, no pun intended. It's a big change for them.
Yeah.
You know, right now they don't even have it. The I don't think any dogs actually even run out there.
No.
It's closed circuit gambling on races somewhere else.
I mean, are we potentially looking at maybe scaled down a little bit, but Beau Rivage in Mobile with the hotels and hotel rooms and the Axe coming and everything that goes along with some sort of a prime gambling house?
I would say that going from the Greyhound to Beau Rivage might be a bit of a leap.
Well, I kind of said it through tongue-in-cheek.
There certainly could be opportunities where people, if they wanted to go do those things, would have the chance to do them here in town versus driving over to Biloxi or driving up to Atmore.
Yeah.
And a lot of this, too, will be somewhat dependent, I think, on a compact with the Indian gaming groups, mm-hmm. With Porch Creek Indians in particular. So there's some talk about that. So I think we're still pretty long way away from it happening, but it seems like there's certainly some momentum behind it do that this legislative session.
They could make a smaller version of the Beau Rivage called the Beau Mirage. Just an idea there.
That'd be a version of it.
It really turn things around out there.
That's the first thing I thought is, whatever they put out there, there's likely to be more interest in rooms, hotel rooms mm-hmm. or what have you, and then sure. restaurants. That would just come with there being more available games out there at the dog track. You mentioned the Porch Creek Indians and how they tie into this. And remember, they had that proposal out during the last session where they basically said, you pay us, we'll take care of gambling across the state. And things kind of changed a little bit, but how much did they actually change with this bill that's been filed? I know on Jeff Poor's show and also on Midday Mobile, they've discussed, is this still too much of a monopoly? Are we giving too much power to Porch Creek Indians for gaming across the state?
I mean, personally, I think it's one of those things you'll look back on in 20 years and say, man, we sure gave away the farm. But, there's a lot of money being waved in front of everybody's face, $1 billion up front. And so, I worry that politicians will look at that and say, man, we can fix a lot of things with that $1 billion. And personally, I think it is giving away a tremendous amount of authority and tremendous amount of revenue down the line and creating a situation where one group is handling all this.
If there's one thing in this bill that I do have some knowledge of, it's the sports books and the sports gambling. And I think it was a smart move on Del Marsh's part or whoever told him to put this in there. In Tennessee, they did online-only sports gambling. In Mississippi, it's basically brick-and-mortar only. You have to be inside or on casino property. And this is a mix of both. I think that'll get a whole lot more people involved rather than having to actually get down to the casino or wherever to play the games.
Yeah, it's going to be, that'll be big as well. I mean, there's so many people who are, you've got DraftKings and things like that that people play online, and, you can gamble all day on that. You can gamble on the stock market all day. You can gamble on lots of things. So there's plenty of ways to gamble already in Alabama. I don't necessarily, obviously you don't want people to lose their money and have problems with that, but there are going to be people that do that. And, just about everybody I know in town has an illegal bookie somewhere too. So there's plenty of that going on. I think it's a good idea for the state to at least get some part of this and get in on it.
Yeah.
So you got, we'll talk about this coming back too. I mean, hotel rooms, bands or acts that you weren't even sure were still alive coming to play. That's always exciting.
Yeah.
A Sunday buffet. All out at the dog track.
We might not get Cher, but we'll get, what is it, Chaz? Was that her?
848. I'm going to leave that alone. 848. FM Talk 106.5. Hello from Dan Brennan in Dalton, Orwick. FM Talk 106.5. And Rob Holbert from Lanyap and lanyapmobile.com.
Rob, let everybody know how they get the latest issue of Lanyap and also better than that, subscribe online like I do.
Well, this new issue with these dice on the cover,
mm-hmm.
Lucky 7 on the cover.
I noticed that.
Man, I mean, you know, the photographer captured that. you can find them in all of our purple boxes around the area. We're putting out more all the time. So you can get it there, but also you can go online at lanyapmobile.com, and you can get signed up. It's 21 cents a day. Become a subscriber. You can see all the breaking news. Tommy Hicks, if you like sports, he's been putting out tons of sports. There's all sorts of stuff going on there. Plus, our weekly podcast is available online. So you can check all those things out, and it's 21 cents a day. You wouldn't even go across the room to pick it up off the floor.
May I say this about Tommy, too? I saw Tommy and Julie recently. Tommy's the genuine deal. I saw him at a sports bar. He was at a sports bar. So that tells you everything you need to know.
He's probably sending me a story at like 11 o'clock at night. That's him.
He's a great guy.
He's fired up, man.
And
he is fired up. He turns in a lot of sports news.
And I love some of his stuff this week because you have baseball getting started here. He wrote about not just USA but all the colleges and their upcoming baseball seasons, and we're in high school basketball playoffs too, and Tommy wrote about that this week. So some good stuff to check out in the latest issue. We were talking about some of these bills that have been filed in Montgomery, and spent quite a bit of time talking about the sports and casino and lottery bill last segment, but that's not the only thing that, if you would have told me, I don't know, a couple years ago, that we might have legalized medical marijuana and also alcohol delivery from businesses to homes. A little behind other states, but I'm still kind of surprised that this might be happening here.
I think I'm more surprised by alcohol delivery than I am by the medical marijuana. But I think, you know, as usual, you know, we love to make fun of Mississippi as, you know, thank God for Mississippi.
Yeah.
But once Mississippi did it last year, then everybody went, man, wait a minute, Mississippi's got medical marijuana, mm-hmm. we don't. I think it's one of those things that there's been enough proof in the pudding at this point for a lot of people that there are, you know, there are people who are suffering. This can help them. And it looks, I mean, it certainly was something, I think there's momentum going into this session to get this done and get it passed. You know, that doesn't mean everybody gets to go out and smoke weed. It just means that, you know, you can get people medical marijuana that need it. We've done stories on it where families have had to move to different states to, you know, take care of sick children, things like that. And you know, there are some things that have been helpful. I mean, certainly certain seizure disorders, things like that, they've been affected by that and helped by that. And it just seems kind of cruel to keep people from having that option when, you know, it's an option in so many other places.
So medical marijuana, gambling, booze, home delivery.
The sins. This is the year of sinning, isn't it?
Somebody
somewhere is tearing their hair out. You know, it's pulpit on a Sunday. Here.
We're going to be Morning Joe's woke state of the week. I mean, Alabama's coming out of nowhere. We're like the horse that was way behind. And well, look at Alabama.
Here comes Alabama. They're coming in off a bender. Here they
go. those people actually know how to party. Wow. That's what the rest of the country's saying. You know, regarding the medical marijuana, and there's still politicians and still plenty of people that will say this is a slippery slope, that by legalizing even the slightest bit of medical marijuana, that soon all drugs will be, you know, legal or being used. That's one argument, but I wish some of these people would do just a little bit of research. One thing that really changed my mind and got me thinking about this was just YouTube videos of people with Parkinson's and some of these awful, awful neurological diseases or other diseases. And then they get this medical marijuana, and it's like an immediate cure almost.
Game changer.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
But is that slippery slope argument valid in any way? I mean, could you see recreational marijuana being legalized here in the next, I don't know, decade, two decades?
Yeah, I mean, I think the slippery slope argument is to a degree valid. But I also think it's just society is changing in that regard. You know, we've looked at it and said, do we want to fill our prisons up with people who are smoking pot?
Mm-hmm.
Most reasonable people would say that's really kind of a victimless crime. Why do we want to throw somebody in jail for smoking pot or selling pot? I think, you know, anybody who's just walking around through society can realize that people who want to smoke pot somehow are finding it. it's pretty readily available. You know, it's, I think you're going to, you know, we're moving that way as a country. I think you're probably going to see it decriminalized at the federal level. You know, would I rather see it ticketed or something like that, as alcohol is? You know, you can't walk around with an open container, do those types of things. You can't stand out on the streets to smoke weed. Mm-hmm. I think it makes more sense than trying to throw people in jail for it. But it's sort of an immovable force at this point, and has been for a while. And, you know, there's and certainly if you open the door for medical marijuana, does it open the door for usage, for recreational usage? Not immediately, but it may eventually. But, I mean, a lot of states are going that way.
This surge in momentum, this is like a fourth quarter comeback. So I'm not the most ardent political observer, but it's incredible that all this is happening in the state of Alabama with not a whole lot of pushback, it seems like, all in one fell swoop, Rob.
Well, I think you look at it and say there's a lot of money on the table.
That's
number
right.
One. There's a lot of money on the table that people are finally looking around saying, man, we're losing tons of money here. So that's one thing. The other part of it is that there is a factor, like you said, people there. I think enough science has shown with marijuana that, you know, there are some people who really need it and really could use this. And it is just sort of unconscionable to not allow those people who are Alabamians to say, well, if you have these problems in Alabama, tough luck. You get treatments that, you know, that everybody else has had. You know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, you can't have anything modern. And that looks bad for us, and it is bad. I mean, I think if people can be helped, why does it matter that much?
Exactly. Good stuff, Rob, and we appreciate you coming on with us this morning, and we'll check back next week.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
You got it.
Rob Holbert, Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com, and coming up, Jeff Poor and the Jeff Poor Show, another great group of guests, including in the 11 o'clock hour, former Governor Don Siegelman will be on the show.
The show is Mobile Mornings, Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on FM Talk 106.5. Back with you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.